Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly yeshiva teaching. The weekly yeshiva teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can receive it by going to the ministry's website at www.hebroots.org and click on the link Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The teaching is an MP3 format, and you can subscribe to receive it through an RSS feed wherein it will automatically be downloaded to your iTunes, and from there you can transfer it to your iPod or your iPhone. You can listen to the teaching at the website, or you can go to the website and download it to your computer and listen at your convenience. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. When we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because in Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, it is written, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 7. Then Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Therefore, Yeshua said that the Hebrew scriptures are written of him, that the Torah is written of him. One of the most important things to realize in the Torah, speaking of Yeshua, is that he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And once you realize that Yeshua is your Savior, you can also make the link or the connection that he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai as well. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it is written, "And she," that is Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name in Hebrew Yeshua," which means salvation. Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." Then in Luke chapter 2 in verse 11 it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So Yeshua will save his people from their sins. Yeshua is our Savior. And realizing this now, we can look at the first part of James chapter 4 and verse 12, which says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that is able to save is also the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In this session, we are going to cover the subject of the United States in Bible prophecy. And looking at the United States in prophecy, we need to be familiar with this principle that the God of Israel declares the end in the beginning. We are told this in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11, as it is written, "Remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." So why is it that the God of Israel says that there is no one like him? Because he's the only one who can tell you the future in the beginning, declaring the end from the beginning. So in the beginning of the creation of the world, he prophesied of how things will be in the end. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel will stand." What's his counsel? Declaring the end from the beginning. "And I will do all my pleasure." The last part of Isaiah chapter 46, verse 11. "I have spoken it when?" in the beginning. I will bring it to pass when in the end. I purposed it when in the beginning. I will also do it. So in looking at Bible prophecy from a Hebraic perspective, you need to understand this principle of here now, but not yet, that the God of Israel will give us an indication of prophetic fulfillment in biblical history. And when we see things being fulfilled in biblical history, it's done in the literal, and that foreshadows the spiritual meaning and the spiritual application. Even as we see this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So we first see a literal fulfillment of Scripture, but the ultimate application, the meaning behind the literal fulfillment, is a spiritual meaning. So in the Bible, we have the enemies of Israel that rule and reign over her because she breaks the covenant at Mount Sinai. And in the book of Daniel, we have an outline of world empires where Daniel saw an image of a beast. And the head of that image is Babylon. And then he saw the arms, which represents the Medes and the Persians. And then he saw the midsection, which represented Greece. And then the legs, representing the Roman Empire. And the beast entity of the end days is represented by the 10 toes, which is part iron and part clay. So historically, we have the literal Babylon headed by Nebuchadnezzar, who came against the nation of Israel and took the Jewish people into captivity. We're told about this in Jeremiah in chapter 25. But this is a prophetic foreshadowing of an end time nation in the end of days who is also referred to as Babylon. Now, when we discuss Babylon in Scripture, we need to remember that Babylon is a generic term for the kingdom of darkness that has many tentacles. For example, there is a literal land of Babylon, and the area of Iraq encompasses the literal land of Babylon. We also have financial Babylon. Our monetary system of this world is a financial Babylonian system. We have political Babylon. The political systems of this world is Babylon, because the kingdom that will be forever is the God of Israel as King of the universe, ruling and reigning upon the earth. And then ultimately, we're told in Revelation in chapter 21 about a new heaven and a new earth, wherein Yeshua will rule forever from the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the place of his throne, as we're told in Revelation in chapter 22. But we also have an end-time spiritual land of Babylon, which I believe refers to the United States. And that is the subject of this teaching, is showing that the United States is the end-time spiritual land of Babylon that is spoken of in the Scriptures in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 21 verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, and Revelation in chapter 18. And so when we're looking at these chapters regarding an end-time spiritual land of Babylon, which I believe refers to the United States of America, we need to determine that within those chapters that there is a time reference for the application of the text. And in Isaiah chapter 13 verse 1, it says, "The burden of Babylon And the context is Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. How, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And this is a reference to the end of days, the tribulation period. And it will come as destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 8. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. And pangs and sorrows is a term for the tribulation period. And then it says in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19, in Babylon, the glory of kingdoms. So we're talking about an end time nation that is in existence in the day of the Lord that is described as the glory of kingdoms. I believe that this describes the United States of America. And the prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 13 is that they will be in a conflict or a war with the Medes, which is a reference to the Iranians. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. And this conflict between Babylon and the Medes is spoken of in Jeremiah in chapter 51. In verse 11, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it. Now we're going to see our time reference. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord. And the vengeance of the Lord is a term for the judgment of the nations. And the vengeance of the Lord comes about over the controversy of Zion. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance for the controversy of Zion. So Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 11, when it is speaking of Babylon being in conflict with the Medes, your time reference is the tribulation period. And then if you look at the first few verses of Revelation chapter 18, they are only quotes from Isaiah and Jeremiah. And so even though we can look into detail of Isaiah 13, Isaiah 21, verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 47, in this teaching, we're going to focus on Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. And we're going to look at characteristics of Babylon in these chapters to see its association with the United States of America. But first, as we're looking at the chapters, we want to look at a time reference for the prophecy regarding Babylon. And in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 15, it is written, shout against her round about, she has given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down. It is the vengeance of the Lord. So that is a reference to the tribulation period and its association with the controversy of Zion, Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. Then we want to look at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest. The sickle in the time of harvest refers to the end of days. It refers to the tribulation period before Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 13 it is written, put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Then the next verse, Joel chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So the sickle is put in because the harvest is ripe in the day of the Lord. But in Babylon, we're told to cut off the sower from Babylon in the time of harvest. So let's look at some characteristics here in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 that we can associate to the United States of America. First, it is describing the end of days. We gave you a couple references, but we will give you one more. Jeremiah chapter 50 in verse 4, it says, in those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, weeping. They will go and seek the Lord their God. They will ask the way to Zion. The phrase, in those days and in that time, is an idiomatic expression for the day of the Lord, which is a term for the end of days and the tribulation period. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 12, your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations. The word hindermost is the Strong's number 319 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. And it is the Hebrew word akarit, which means the last or the end. So this is an end nation, an end time nation. So first of all, we can see then that these chapters about Babylon is referring to the end of days, the tribulation period, the day of the Lord. Secondly, Jeremiah chapter 50 in verse 37, we're told that Babylon is a rich and economically prosperous country. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. They shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures. And then in Jeremiah chapter 51 in verse 13, O you that dwell upon many waters, abundant in treasures. Next, Babylon is a land of mingled or mixed people. We read this verse, Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 37, a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people. The United States is called the melting pot of the earth. Number four, Babylon is a world military power. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 53, though Babylon should mount up into heaven, though she should fortify the height of her strength, she's a great military power and has great military strength. It goes on to say, yet from me shall spoilers come under her. So her defenses mount up to heaven, and she fortifies the height of her strength. Number five, she is a country that has defeated mighty kingdoms through war. Jeremiah 50 and verse 23. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? Jeremiah chapter 51 verses 20 and 21. You are my battle axe and weapons of war, for with you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I destroy kingdoms, and with you will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with you will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. Number six, Babylon is a land that sits upon many waters. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 13. O you that dwell upon many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come. So the United States sits between the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. The state of Minnesota is called the state of 10,000 lakes. And we have the mighty Mississippi River that goes through the central part of the United States. Number seven, Babylon is a country that has a heritage in the God of Israel, but she's turned from that heritage. Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 11. Because you were glad, because you rejoice, O destroyers of my heritage. So the founders of this country partly settled in the United States, fleeing religious persecution in Europe, and they dedicated this country to the God of Israel. Number eight, we're told that the God of Israel would have healed Babylon, but she was not willing to repent. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verses 8 and 9. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her, if so, that she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she would not be healed. And so, even though we've had so many warnings of the God of Israel over the last 20 years upon this country, the people in the land refuse to repent, and they continue to get more liberal and more wicked, turning their hearts and their ways against the God of Israel. The gospel goes forth from Babylon because we are told in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 16, cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle. So the sower is in Babylon. And Messiah told a parable of the sower and said that the sower sows the word. So the word of God is going forth from Babylon. But we are told to cut off that sower. In other words, it will not be able to go forth from Babylon when Babylon is judged. Next, we're told that Babylon is a land that does not believe that she will experience the judgment of the God of Israel. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 5 and verses 7 through 10. Sit thou silent and get you into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. And so one of the recognizable symbols of the United States of America is the Statue of Liberty. Verse 7, and you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not lay these things to your heart, neither did you remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, you who are given to treasures and dwell carelessly, that say in your heart, I am, and there is none beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come upon you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their perfection, for the multitudes of your sorceries, and for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in wickedness, and you said, none sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is none like me. Number 11, the attacking power against Babylon, who destroys it, comes from the north country. And in the Bible, north is the direction that represents judgment and trouble. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 3, for out of the north there comes a nation against her. Verse 9, for lo, I will raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north. Verse 26, come against her from the uttermost border. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north. Number 12, Babylon is destroyed by extremely accurate arrows. This, I believe, refers to intercontinental ballistic missiles. And the attack is devastating. Jeremiah in chapter 50, verse 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From there she will be taken. Their arrow shall be as a mighty expert man, and none shall return in vain. Verse 14, put yourselves in array against Babylon, all that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Number 13, a fire is kindled in the cities of Babylon from these accurate arrows or missiles. Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 32, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour it all round about him. Number 14, Babylon will be destroyed in the way that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Jeremiah in chapter 50 and verse 40. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Number 15, the nations of the world will tremble and shake in fear at the fall or the defeat of Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 46. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and a cry is heard among the nations. Number 16, the people of the God of Israel are living in Babylon when she falls. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 4. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. The children of Israel is northern kingdom, the children of Judah, southern kingdom. And they will both be fleeing Babylon together. It says in verse 5 that they will ask the way to Zion. Number 17. The people of the God of Israel in the land, when Babylon falls, they are told to let Jerusalem come to their mind. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 50. You that escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Number 18. When Babylon is destroyed, the sins of the house of Judah and the house of Israel will be pardoned. Jeremiah in chapter 50 in verse 20. In those days and in that time, an idiomatic expression for the day of the Lord, the tribulation period, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. And that is because from this event, it will entail the people of the God of Israel returning back to the land led by the Messiah as he's gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. Number 19, when his people return to the land of Israel, they will enter into an eternal covenant that will not be forgotten. Jeremiah in chapter 50, verse 4, when it speaks about the children of Israel and the children of Judah going and weeping, refers to repenting, and they will seek the Lord their God. That's the Messiah of Israel, even Yeshua HaMashiach. They will ask the way to Zion. And Zion is the unification of the people of the God of Israel, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16, with the land of Israel, Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, who are following his Torah. The Torah will go forth from Zion, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and the Messiah will be head over them, as we're told that the 12 tribes will appoint themselves one head, Hosea chapter 1 and verse 11. And then we're told in Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 24 that David my servant will be king over them. So in Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 5, as they're asking the way to Zion, they say, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord, that's going to be the Messiah, in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. And this is the covenant of the Messianic era, wherein when Messiah sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, his people will no more ever be in exile, and their enemies will never rule over them. We're told in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant. And finally, in looking at some of these characteristics of this end time entity, who I believe refers to the United States, the spiritual land of Babylon, we're going to see that it is repeated multiple times in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 as the final characteristic, that when Babylon is destroyed, she will not be inhabited forever, and that in her full destruction, not one person will live in Babylon. So let's look at these scriptures that says that in this judgment of Babylon and the fullness of her judgment, because her judgment comes in stages. We're told in Revelation chapter 18, Babylon is fallen. This could be interpreted as staged judgment. And then we're told in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 50, you that escape the sword. So there's a sword that comes upon the land, and those who escape the initial sword are to let Jerusalem come to your mind. But ultimately, the fullness of that sword is the land of Babylon is wholly desolate, and there is not one person who will ultimately live in it. That's why the God of Israel says, flee from her. And we're told in Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 16, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one into their own land. So people in general are leaving Babylon when she's destroyed, the United States of America, and God's people are told to ask the way to Zion and to let Jerusalem come to your mind. They're supposed to return to the land of Israel. So now let's look at scriptures that says that she will be wholly desolate in her judgment. The first one that we're going to look at is Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 13. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it will be wholly desolate. Everyone that goes by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. Then Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 45. Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon and his purposes that he's purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 25. The end of the verse says, I will make you a burnt mountain. Now, the emphasis that is placed in the judgment upon Babylon in these two chapters, Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, is that Babylon, in the fullness of her judgment, there will not be an inhabitant. Now, if you want to emphasize something, you repeat it. And so that is not only repeated in these chapters, but it is repeated a great many times. Let's look at these occurrences. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 26. Come against her from the uttermost border upon her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 39. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there, and owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Verse 40, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 3. Against him that bends, let the archer bend the bow. Then it goes on to say, destroy her utterly. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 26. And they shall not take of you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 29. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation, without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 51 verse 37, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment, and a hissing, without a inhabitant. Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 43, her cities are a desolation, a dry land, in a wilderness, a land where no man dwells, neither does any son of man pass thereby. Now, if these many references doesn't get the reader to recognize that when this end time entity called Babylon falls in the day of the Lord, that it's a total desolation, and in the fullness of her judgment, there's not one inhabitant that will remain in the land. This is how Jeremiah chapter 51 concludes. Verse 62, then you shall say, O Lord, that has spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when you've made an end of reading this book, that you shall bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And you will say, thus shall Babylon sink and not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. So, what we've done in this teaching is we've outlined for you that Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 21 verses 1 through 10, Isaiah chapter 47, Isaiah chapter 50, 51, Revelation chapter 18, They all prophesy about the fall and the destruction of Babylon. And the context of these prophecies is the end of days, the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period. And Babylon is described as being the hindermost or the last or an end time nation. The characteristics that describe Babylon fit with the United States of America. Among other things, she's going to be in a conflict or a war with the Medes, the Iranians, and in the fullness of her judgment, there will not be one person dwell therein. But for the people who know the God of Israel, who knows his word, who knows his ways, who knows his will, he has provided a means of escape. He has said, come out of Babylon and flee from her. And in Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 50, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Because when Babylon falls, the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, will be gathering and uniting the 12 tribes of Israel and taking them to Zion. Ultimately then, when he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, he will set up his kingdom and he will rule and reign with his people, and he will be teaching his Torah to all nations. I would like to remind you that Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. And we would encourage you to be a partner with Hebraic Heritage Ministries. The address of the ministry is Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio 44680. Strasburg is spelled Strasburg. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has an extensive website to help you to study the Hebrew roots of Christianity. And at the website, we have different subjects which are categorized according to various tabs. And at each tab, there are written articles and audio and video teachings. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has a web store where we offer many materials to help you in your studies. Just go to the website of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, www.hebroots.org, and click on the link Web Store. And there you will find a variety of books, CDs, and DVDs to help you in your studies. In closing, remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives, even as he walked. How did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He followed the Torah of his Father. Even so, he commanded those who believe on him in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Until the next weekly yeshiva teaching, shalom, in Yeshua the Messiah, amen.